Good afternoon, and welcome to the December 5th edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Laron Landis, who is still recovering from his... She just sent us a text message. Alex the intern is back. Welcome, Alex.
Hi.
Long time no hear.
Exactly.
And how's school?
It's going good, and we're almost to finals, and that's really exciting.
Good. Good. And so he's recording the show, and we know it's getting recorded this time, so you can listen to the show on podcast afterwards. Our guest today is Jonathan Pallant. He is the artistic director of the Turtle Creek Corral, which is now in its 31st season. So it was around before Jonathan and before Laron were even born.
Well, that's quite the compliment. It's not true, but it's quite the compliment.
Thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself. Not true, but quite a compliment.
And for anybody who doesn't know what the Corral is, the Turtle Creek Corral is Dallas's premier choral group with 36 CDs, probably one of the most recorded choral groups in the country.
We're actually the most recorded men's chorus in the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Now,
we're
you know,
38 CDs. Gosh, I think 3 DVDs. One of them was nominated for an Emmy Award. We're really proud of our history.
Yeah.
So that's recording more than a CD on average, more than one a year.
Yeah.
For a period there, yeah, we were recording an awful lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I said one of the most recorded, I was thinking, I don't know how to even check those statistics, but I know there can't be a whole lot of other choruses anywhere that have been recorded that much. And we're not talking about gay men's choruses. We're talking about one of the most recorded chorales anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's very expensive to record. There's a lot that goes into it. And our recordings, for a while there, a lot of our recordings are actually live performances that were just so strong that we mastered and made into a CD.
Mm-hmm.
Only five of them are actual studio recordings done by a wonderful recording company called Reference Recordings.
And, you know, last week we had a guest on. She's a folk singer. Her name's Sonia. Her last CD, a lot of it they did in like an eight-hour period in her living room. You don't just get together in your living
wonderful.
Room.
I do. You know, we rebuilt our living room to accommodate the 200 singers. And it's really quite something to have 200 men in our living room. Club Jonathan Pallant, as
right,
I call it.
Right. So when you're recording, if you're recording down at the Meyerson,
yeah.
I mean, the equipment that you have to use, it's a lot more than for recording just a guitar and a drum.
You know, it's like anything else. There are certain levels. No pun intended, recording levels.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain levels that one can invest from just a single microphone out in the hall all the way to really miking individual sections, balancing, and capturing the sound truly as it is heard. There are also lots of new technologies around recording that I'm certainly not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
The studio recordings are much more intense. Many more microphones. The mixing board is much larger. And of course, it's more expensive.
Sure. Are there recording studios that are large enough to accommodate 200 people?
Actually, we've used the Meyerson as our recording studio. And then it's a matter of bringing the equipment to the Meyerson. It has some, but then we augment that as well.
Mm, okay. The Corral has been around 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
Corral's been around 31 years, has a history of long tenure for their director.
Right.
Whereas the other men's choruses around the country really don't.
Well, it's actually...
Is that not true?
So true. The Corral is in its 31-year history. My predecessor was here 20 years. If you look at the chorus in Seattle... he's been there, I believe he's in his 29th year.
Oh, okay.
Of a chorus that's only 30 or 31 years. The chorus in Kansas City, a dear friend, Joe, has been there, gosh, I think 14 years now. The conductor of San Francisco is leaving at the end of the season. She's been there 10 years.
But San Francisco is the one I was thinking of because that's where your predecessor is going now. And they've had, and the reason I'm asking this is they've had a number of of directors before him, before her, the previous one. And what I'm really thinking, here was what my question was, because it all gets back to you, Jonathan.
Nice.
You're here as the director. You've been here 4 years now. You're planning on this as a career? You're planning on sticking around here?
You know, it's an interesting question, because my entire career has been stepping stone after stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get ready for college and high school, and you go for college because you want to get a good job. You want to get a good job because then, for me at least, I wanted to get my master's degree. Then I got my master's degree, and I had to go get some practical experience in order to get in and get a doctoral degree, and get my doctorate, and then what? And then you sort of say, okay, well, if you're going in academia, you get an associate professor or an assistant professorship in order to gain tenure, and then a full professor, and then. With the Turtle Creek Chorale, I really feel as if I'm in a spot that there is no stepping stone. Where does one go from the Turtle Creek Chorale? It's such an amazing organization with such potential to do anything creatively. There are no boundaries. I mean, economics might tell me otherwise. But so to answer your question in a roundabout way, I want to be here. I'm not thinking about the next step for the first time in my life. We've purchased a home here. My partner loves Dallas and enjoys his work. And maybe if the day came when I had nothing more to say, or nothing more to offer, or the creative juices stop flowing. But right now they're flowing free.
And what you're creating right now is the Christmas concert, the holiday concert.
The holiday concert. Well, the holiday concert is our next performance. You know, it's what's interesting is, you know, you say what I'm creating right now. One of the things I quickly learned here is the only way to keep up with programming and keeping the chorale fresh is that I'm working pretty much a year in advance. There's programming and thinking about now, but then there's tomorrow, and then there's next year. So, for example, just finished having a technical meeting at the Meyerson to talk about the holiday concert that's coming up and working through, okay, the lighting cues and staging and where is Santa Claus? Oh, did I give it away? Santa Claus is going to make an appearance. Oh, I probably shouldn't have told
you. You probably shouldn't have.
I had to, because I don't know where his reindeer are going to be. Well, that's a whole different story. We're working the holiday show. December 15th, 20th, and 22nd. Tickets are on sale. Had to add that in.
At turtlecreek.org.
At turtlecreek.org. Okay. Absolutely. Great seats still available. But I'm also working on the next concert in the spring. We're thrilled to welcome Jennifer Holliday, the original Effie in Dreamgirls. And she's telling me that it's going to be a great...
Sorry. I caught it.
Thank you. Programming that concert, but I'm also working with the Meyersons to secure dates for next season and thinking about conceptually... our season for next year and what that will look like. You know, there are certain standards that one has to that you're obligated to perform. Of course, the holiday show. We typically do something in October, something in the spring, something in the early summer, and then thinking long term as well. Recently, got back from an international tour, but I'm already thinking about the next international tour, and I'm very excited about that.
How big of a challenge is this to do a different Christmas show every year? Because I assume you use some of the same music. I mean, some of the songs that people expect to hear. But how do you...
It's a challenge. And I'll tell you why. Because it's keeping it fresh, both for the audience. The audience only does it one... You know, they come once a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're really loyal, they'll come twice a year to the holiday concert. But for the singers, we start working on holiday repertoire the first rehearsal. And that's in August. So to spend 4 months singing Jingle Bells, if it's the same version of Jingle Bells, it gets really tiresome. So it is definitely a challenge. It's a challenge to figure out conceptually where does this show want to take us. And I'll give you a couple of examples. 4 years ago, the show was pretty much a mishmash of holiday, non-holiday, a little bit of funny, and that was at the Majestic Theater. It was my first holiday show, and I sort of, I was very green as far as programming that. And I think the show was a success for you know, a freshman. And then my second year, we were back in the Meyerson, and we decided to make it a little bit more comedic. And we had actors and storyline, and it was got a lot of positive feedback. Last year, we were in the Windspear, and we said, okay, we're going to make this show as theatrical as a chorale show has ever been, because we're in a theater. Let's take advantage of the fly space, let's take advantage of the curtains, let's take advantage of dressing rooms with makeup and all that stuff. And we did that, and it was a very successful show. Financially, it was terrific. I think that everyone really loved going to the Windspear. But I don't think that the show... I think the show was a good one time to try it that way, and our patrons sort of said, hey, you know, we really like that traditional Christmas that you do. Let's see what you can do with that. So this year is a very traditional holiday show. A lot of new arrangements of just truly heartwarming traditional songs. Silver Bells, Silent Night, O Holy Night, Auld Lang Syne, Sleigh Bells, The Coventry Carol and Bring a Torch, Deck the Hall. Just really exciting, feel good. It's like going home for Thanksgiving to your own house when you know what you're going to get, because your mom's stuffing is the best stuffing. Nobody makes better stuffing than your own mom.
And where's this year's concert?
At the Meyerson Symphony Center.
At the Meyerson Center.
December 15th, 20th, and 22nd.
Yeah, with tickets online.
With tickets online.
Turtle Creek. Org. He paid us to say that. We have to keep repeating.
And seats are still available.
And seats are still available.
Now,
good
seats are still available. Now, with the different venues, I assume there's a slightly different sound that comes performing at different venues.
Oh, that's such a great question.
Which one do you prefer?
Well, I don't want to burn any bridges in town, but you know, the Meyerson has been our performance home since 1989, and I was in there in an empty house twice this past week. And you just walk into that room, and it's almost a religious room, in that it is, whether it be the acoustic, the design, the feeling, the history, a building that's only 21 years old now.
It is so old. When are we getting rid of that place and building something new?
Yeah, well, gosh.
This is Dallas.
This is Dallas.
We need a new one.
The answer to your question is, it's the Meyerson is our number one favorite place to perform. It's just incredible.
It does sound great. Reunion Arena got paid off and torn down. It was 30 years old, so I figured 7-8 more years on this one, and then we need a new one.
I just want the public to know that I'm not endorsing what David is saying right now. I will lay down, and they'll have to bulldoze me.
What Laurent just asked about, the acoustics, the Windspear also was designed for acoustics. It was designed for the opera.
Yeah.
Does that translate into what you're doing?
No. Great question. No. You know, acoustics are a funny beast. And acoustics are designed for one thing, and oftentimes they are best for that one thing. You know, I've seen operas in the Windspear, and they're terrific. The acoustic in the Windspear for opera singers and opera chorus is really terrific. The Meyerson is better for us as an acoustically recorded, or acoustically, how do I say this? As a chorus, we don't want to be microphoned or mic'd. And in the Windspear, we felt as if we needed that, just that little bit of boost.
Oh, okay. So there was
we needed that.
Personally microphoned, or just the stage itself?
Well, so in the Windspear, typically you have sets.
Mm-hmm.
And the sets, all of the sound bounces. You have this shell, which is the set, and oftentimes there's a ceiling. So the sound is thrown out into the house. And when you take the set away, you're left with this huge open space above you and just a dead curtain behind you. So the sound is dead before it even gets thrown out. And when it does, what sound does get pushed forward strictly goes straight up into the air. So it does nothing for us. Whereas in the Meyerson, of course, the sound is designed to go up and out over to into the house and for the audience.
Well, the way the stage in the Meyerson is built, you're thrust out into
exactly.
the audience anyway. Right. It's not a proscenium.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
In the traditional sense. So with the Christmas concert, this year's is going to be more of a traditional concert. Mm-hmm. Is one of the things that you're going to do, which is one of the reasons I can't go to this concert, the poinsettias?
Uh-huh, yes. That is
describe sure. What that tradition is, because it's really why I knew so many members of the chorale who have passed away, that I can't go to one of your holiday concerts anymore.
You know, this is a tradition that got started, 18 years ago. You know, I don't know the exact date when it got started, but in the height of the AIDS pandemic, the chorale was losing members, and we were singing sometimes a funeral a week. Very sad. Very traumatizing yet unifying for our organization. Mm-hmm. And it was decided early on in our history that we would, at the holidays, hold a poinsettia plant for each one of our members that had passed. And originally it had started, we would hold a plant for a member who passed due to HIV/AIDS. We've opened that up because our brotherhood is so important to us that it is now for any singing member that has passed, mm-hmm. we hold this plant. And then, probably in 2004, maybe a little bit earlier that, in this decade, we opened that up. Our sister chorus, the Women's Chorus of Dallas, lost its first member to breast cancer. Mm. And now we have pink poinsettias on stage as well. And then there is one white poinsettia for our accompanist, who was with us for several years, Annie Albritton. Mm. And we have a plant for her. What's interesting is that we now have more plants on stage than singers, which is something that we knew would happen eventually. But it was a real turning point. And I said before about programming, the holiday program, that programming for the Turtle Creek Chorale as a freshman was tough. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago, I say, as a freshman. Today, you know, in my fourth year, I say I'm a senior. I've seen the faces now of those who have left us. We had a 30-year-old member die last year. It was 2 years ago, last year. It was very, very difficult. And so the poinsettia dedication takes on new meaning to me as a director, mm-hmm. in how do I program the meaning behind this song.
Right.
This song we're doing, we're looking ahead, actually, this year in the song that we're going to sing as our poinsettia dedication. And it's a song from the show Children of Eden by Stephen Schwartz called In Whatever Time We Have. And it's not the morbid of looking back. It's celebrating the time that we have today. And the words, in whatever time we have, for as long as we are living, we can face whatever comes. If we face it now as one, I could make it on my own. Let me know that I don't have to. No one really wants to be alone in whatever time we have. And so we'll hold these plants, singing these words, saying, cherish the day now.
And we're talking to Jonathan Pallant. He is the artistic director of the Turtle Creek Chorale. Tickets for the holiday concert are on sale at turtlecreek.org. We'll be back with more right after this.
If you're looking for an end-of-the-year tax write-off, it's not too late to donate your used car to the KNON Vehicle Donation Program. It can all be handled in time for this year's taxes. Just call 877-KNON-AUTO, and we'll arrange a convenient time to pick up your donation. The proceeds benefit Great Community Radio here on KNON. Call 877-KNON-AUTO or go online to knon.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis. Our station president is here, Jesus Chairez, who many of you know from his old show, Sin Fronteras, but you have to be very, very old to remember that show. Welcome,
Jesus. It hasn't been that long, has it?
It's been hundreds of years since he's been on. and where did Jesus get his start with the station? On Lambda Weekly. So, that's right. You were a guest on our show a number of years ago.
Yeah, but I had left the FCC and people kind of scared me.
Right. So Jesus used to work for the FCC. He came, everybody was afraid of him. He left the FCC, came to KNON. We're all good FCC people come. He's laughing. Our guest today is Jonathan Talent, who's the artistic director of the Turtle Creek Chorale. We're just talking about the upcoming mm-hmm. holiday concert and programming. And
we were just talking about, you know, the passing of some of the members. But you still get new members. And I wanted to talk, if you could talk a little bit about, for those who don't know, is there a limit to the size of the chorale?
You know, that is something that comes up a lot, the size of the chorale. We've boasted for years 225 singing members, and on the books we have 225 singing members. It's been a long time since we've put 225 up on that stage. I think anywhere else in the country, a chorus over 100 is considered a huge choir. Mm-hmm. In Texas, that's the norm. You know, they say everything's bigger in Texas. Well
ours has to be bigger.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, being a Texan for only 4 years and becoming, you know, I've lived in the North, I've lived in the West, I've lived in the East, and, you know, any choir over 100 is a huge chorus. We're really proud of our membership, and every single member gives their all. You talked about age. the average age of the chorus has actually, and I think this will surprise some, when we did a member survey last year, the average age has actually remained the same, which is somewhere between 45 and 55. I can't remember the exact, I don't have those statistics. The younger members are staying with the chorus longer right now. Now, I want to put a caveat on this. I'm not looking at statistics. I'm speaking from what it feels like. Someone who, you know, handled our survey might contradict me on this, but the younger members have really fallen in love with the chorus. They have taken to each other. They are learning how to be in a community and how to dedicate themselves wholeheartedly to an organization that's worthwhile, which I think is something that's so important to what we're doing. And does that answer? I want to go in a slightly different direction on this, if I might. For many, many years, the gay community had a struggle, you know, was struggling to be accepted. And certainly we are today with Don't Ask, Don't Tell and whatnot. And in the mid-90s, there was a grab you and push you up against a wall and say, you're going to listen to us. You know, the slogan, we're here, we're queer, that whole mantra. And I think for me today, especially for me, and I'm sort of leading the chorale using my motto, you're going to know someone that's gay, whether it's a brother, a father, a coworker, the guy down the street, the neighbor, whomever. And it's all about acceptance and showing the picture that we can live harmoniously without throwing anybody up against a wall and saying, hey, listen to me. Which is precisely why, for example, we did a concert 2 years ago now with the United States Army Chorus. We were the first Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses affiliated choir that performed with a military chorus. And there was a lot of discussion going into that concert with the Army Brass of, well, is it going to say gay on the program? Well, is there going to be anything gay here, gay there? No, no, no. And I conceded, one might say, well, you gave in to their requests. Well, yeah, I did. But now I have a picture of the Turtle Creek Chorale standing side by side on stage with the United States Army Chorus. And quite frankly, that says more than any argument than one could have posed verbally.
But when the chorale performs, it doesn't say gay, gay, gay all over
the program
anyway.
And I will tell you, and I walk a fine line on this too, but we are not. We do not call ourselves a gay men's chorus. We are a chorus of and our membership is made up of predominantly gay men. And
I think that might actually surprise a few, because I think a lot of people assume that all membership is gay.
Well, yeah. When the Chorale was formed, the original groups that were forming at the time, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, the Seattle Gay Men's Chorus, the New York Gay Men's Chorus, and then it was the Turtle Creek Chorale, not the Dallas Gay Men's Chorus.
And the organization took a lot of heat for that.
Yes.
I'll tell you, and you know, my colleagues in the industry have been gracious in not judging me for it, but I had no, when I was applying for jobs out of graduate school, I would not have applied for this job had it been the Dallas Gay Men's Chorus. That is not where my focus is. It's not what I do. I didn't go get a doctorate in gayism. That's not what I do.
See, Laurent and I did.
Yeah, right. You guys may have. But no, I'll tell you, it's just the same way, and I feel very strongly about this, you don't hear of the Dallas brown-haired men's chorus. Brown hair is just another characteristic that defines me as a whole. It is not what defines me and everything that I do. And when you say, I
wouldn't have been able to join that group right now.
Right.
Yeah. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I could have, but I just got my hair cut and the brown's gone.
Right,
yeah,
it's gone.
Got it. A couple of weeks, huh?
But your focus is music.
Yes,
our focus is music. Our focus is unifying a community, and the fact that we are predominantly gay allows me to have a pedestal to, allows us as an organization the pedestal to teach tolerance, but it does so in a very we teach I don't know how to say this passively is not the right word. We do so very gently. We do so by showing a picture of the Turtle Creek Chorale and the Army Chorus together, and the Army told us outright they would not have joined us had we been a gay men's chorus. And, you know, this is very controversial. Folks who are adamantly opposed to what I'm saying right now, I apologize. It's not my attitude is not directed at you. I'm a proud gay man. I have no qualms with that. Anyone that knows me knows that I get manicures and pedicures. Oh, wait. I just really think that music, the power of harmony, is a mantra that we've had in the Chorale for some time, and to live harmoniously, you do have to meet people halfway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that the Chorale is not about being gay, but you know, you did talk about the sense of community within the Chorale,
yeah.
And I wondered, I don't know what the youngest member, how old the youngest member is, nor how old the oldest member is, mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes in our community, there's such a disconnect between young gay men, yeah, and older gay men. It's just a generational thing. A lot of times, young gay men, we don't even know any older gay men that can talk to us, right, about what it used to be like or whatever. Do you find that there might be some type of, harmony there that would not have been in other groups?
That you're bringing up these great questions that have been questions in the organization from a membership side. What does a 17-year-old and a 73 or 74-year-old, which is basically our span, what do they have in common? And throughout the 4 years, with a director who is younger than the previous director, what has that been like? And has there been a dichotomy in our membership? And there was. There was. We've moved past that right now. I think it came to a head the beginning of last year, and we had some focus groups to determine how to best bind these two generations. Have we done it? I don't know. Have we recognized that we are a multi-generational organization? Yes. And the reality is, I would want it no other way, because that ensures the future of this organization. When you have young, committed singers, at one time our older members were young, committed singers, and you know what? Now they're older, committed singers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's so important that we maintain that. I do not want, regardless of my age, an organization of blue hairs. Mm-hmm. That's a. You look at some of the symphony orchestras in town or across the nation, and it's a big concern of getting younger patrons. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it in our patron base, younger patrons. We are once again becoming the place to be. When the chorale has a concert, everyone comes. It was like that during the height of the AIDS pandemic. Mm-hmm. In the mid-90s, it was what brought people together. Mm-hmm. When the chorale had a concert, it was standing room only. And then 9/11 hit, and you know, people were watching their money. People weren't going out. Ticket sales had steadily fell, starting with 9/11. And we've turned the corner. We really have turned the corner.
Putting on what you put on is a massively expensive undertaking.
Yeah.
You know, 4 concerts a year, 3 concerts. Do ticket sales cover all that? Plus, you know, there are salaries because you're not the only employee of the chorale. Do ticket sales cover that? How does a group like yours exist?
Let me put this, and it's a great question, and it's perhaps something that people don't know. We are actually a $1 million organization. We're a nonprofit. We don't make a profit from this. We're a licensed 501c3 organization. We do nearly 50 performances a year. You said 4 concerts. Well, we actually do multiples. For example, we're doing 3 of these holiday shows in the Meyerson. Like I said, 50 performances a year, whether it be Black Tie or I just totally blanked on some of the other stuff that we've done recently. My goodness. We'll be out in Tyler.
I was just going to say, next week
Gay
you
Pride.
Have a performance.
With Gay Pride. We're out in Tyler, Texas next year.
You were at World AIDS Day,
on
Wednesday.
You know my schedule better than I do. Talking about
I know, and there's that one that you didn't show up
exactly,
for.
Exactly, we didn't show up
I reported
one.
You were going to be there.
Yes, David reported that we were going to be at Transgender Day of Remembrance, and that was never on our books, but thanks for the
It was on my book, and so where were they?
We have a,
they
we,
disappointed
So your yeah. book is the book to go by, Dave.
Right. We have a staff of, I think 7 now, and we are very proud to say that our what's called earned to unearned income. So our earned income are ticket sales. Unearned income is contributions by patrons, by ticket buyers, by corporations, by people who, from all of the world,
sponsorships,
people all over the world that just love the chorale.
Earned would also be all your CD sales.
Exactly.
And other merchandise sales.
We maintain what's called a 60-40 split. 40% is earned income, 60% is unearned income. That is precisely the number that the Dallas Symphony Orchestra is running right now. And I would love to say that we ended our last fiscal season nicely in the black. Other arts organizations in town did not.
I won't
name them.
And we won't name them because some of them have gay artistic directors too. Why don't we go to the entertainment report?
Okay. Alrighty, Dr. Laura Schlesinger is in the headlines again for a rant on her radio show, but this time it wasn't for one of her usual bigoted rants. This time she kicked off her show with a 5-minute rant against the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Of course, it's all over the news right now. And yes, you heard me right. She is against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Not for it.
So she's on our side.
She's on our side on this one, believe it or not. She said, quote, "This business of being concerned about whether or not a person is gay is utterly ridiculous. Homosexuals have served in the military since we've had our ragtag guys in the forest dealing with Indians in the British War." She goes on to say that, quote, "Gay men aren't turned on by every straight guy they see, and straight guys who think that they do should get their egos in check." Now, for the first time ever, I couldn't agree with Dr. Laura
right.
Moore.
She's just gone back to her original position, which was extremely pro-gay before she became anti-gay in order to pander to the right wing.
You know, I'm really big on giving where credit is due, even though if I don't like the person, but I'm not about to jump on the, "I love Dr. Laura Bam."
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying she's...
At all. She's done
decided,
too much.
Since she her show was canceled, she's decided to stop being hypocritical and just actually be honest.
Which, by the way, her show... The show that she got in, you know, her current show that, you know, was all over the news not too long ago about her racist rant, she kept using the N-word, that does end this month, and she said that she will not be on the air anymore. Well, she will. She just got picked up by Sirius.
Oh.
Yeah, so she will be on the air
on Sirius Pace, yeah. Sirius Bucks.
Yes, they do.
What's the guy with the hair? Stern?
Howard Stern. Yes.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there'll be major bucks for other people to share.
Howard Stern doesn't, he's not just on there, he has two stations on Sirius.
Yes, yes.
Right. So...
Yeah. So she,
right, that's major money they're losing.
That's major money. I mean, she said she was just going to go and, you know, and write books and so forth, but no, she will still be on the air. I don't know. I think it's, maybe I'm being a little cynical here, but I think she's doing it just so people, she can get a few listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a few listeners.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. TV talk show host Nate Berkus had to be rushed to the hospital on Wednesday from the set of his show after complaining that he wasn't feeling good, even though he did go ahead and complete the taping of the show. Apparently, the first openly gay man to host a nationally syndicated daytime talk show has appendicitis, and he's expected to have surgery. That sounds really painful.
It sounds like he needs me to nurse him back to health. I'm just saying.
So you think he's cute, too?
He's just saying.
I think it's adorable. The doctors expect him to have a quick recovery. And last, singer Annie Lennox says that life might have been easier had she been gay. In an interview with UK magazine Saga, the twice divorced Annie says she doesn't want to disallow the possibility of falling in love again, but, quote, I think that for 90, maybe 95% of women, men are a huge disappointment in terms of relationships. And she might be onto something there.
I don't know. I've had lots of them.
I have not had that many. So, but you
I
know,
love my husband. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, so I'm right there with you, Jonathan. So I don't think it'd be as...
Wait, that was you last night? Wait, I love my husband. I'm sticking to it.
And that's all I got.
Oh, good thing.
Hope you're not listening, Danny.
We are talking to Jonathan Pallant. He's the artistic director of the Turtle Creek Corral. Now in its 31st season, they have their upcoming holiday. I almost said Christmas. It's not Christmas. Holiday concert, because you're including other stuff.
I'll tell you, we had two of the coolest pieces. I was going to say multicultural. I suppose, you know, only in Dallas is... Jewish song multicultural, but typically people think of Jewish music as being, you know, so maudlin and in a minor key and slow, and you know, I guess most is, and you know, that's fine, but we're doing this very cool new gospel story about Judah and his Maccabees. Judah, of course, was the leader of the Maccabean army, or the army of Hebrews. And it tells a story, and it's just a really great number with a guy who's quickly becoming a favorite in town. His name is Chris Wagley. He's the he was just seen in Theater 2's Songs of an Unmade Bed. He's just terrific, and he's our soloist for that. And then we're also doing a really cool Nigerian Christmas song called Betelehemu that chorale audiences have heard in the past. And there was one performance several years ago where the chorale performed it, the audience wouldn't stop clapping, and we performed it for a second time.
Wow.
It's a really great tune, and lots of African drums, and it's just a lot of fun.
We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this break.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive. Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send your pledge to KNON P.O. Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at knon.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. KNON Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. Be sure to put the name of the show you are supporting on the check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON's pledge drive? Call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis, the president of KNON, of Agape Broadcasting, is here in the studio with us today. It's Jesus Chires, who lots of you know from his old show, Sin Fronteras. He was just saying, as I was pressing the buttons and they weren't working, he said, I don't remember how to even do that. And I said, it's 8-track technology. How can you forget?
So long ago,
right. We're talking to Jonathan Palin. He's the artistic director of the Turtle Creek Chorale. Last summer, Jonathan, you and your group went to Spain to perform.
We did.
Tell us about that.
We took 100 singers to Spain for 10 days. It was an amazing experience that, I was going to say life-changing. I'm not sure if life-changing is the word, but something that we will never, ever forget. We performed concerts in Madrid, in Seville, in Barcelona. We marched in Madrid's Gay Pride Parade, which was the largest gay pride parade in all of Europe. It was 1.5 million people. Mm. And the neatest thing about this was that we were there in Spain for the World Cup. As Spain, we were in Madrid. The night that of marching in the Spain Pride Parade, they won the quarterfinals. So we celebrated with Spaniards on that. Then we were in Granada when they won the semifinals to go to the finals. And then, unfortunately, the chorale had left the day of the final game when they played Holland, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And then, is that right, Holland? They beat Holland?
I'm not for sure.
Yeah, because they were marching and they were doing Amsterdam.
It's soccer. This is Texas.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But Mark and I actually spent a few extra days and got to experience Spain beating and winning the World Cup. Mm. It was just a remarkable experience. And we also visited Cordoba and Toledo and Granada. And we sang one of the most memorable concerts in my life in Barcelona at the Church of Santa Maria del Pi. And it was perhaps the warmest concert venue I've ever sung. It's not perhaps, it was the warmest venue we've ever sung in.
In what ways?
Well, it was a church, and it was unbearably hot that day in Barcelona. And the church probably was a good 110 degrees.
Oh, you mean warmest as far as hot?
Yes. Oh, yes. And, I mean, so much so that I had the guys, they didn't wear their jackets, they didn't wear their vests. It was standing room only. Everyone in the crowd had a fan. It was completely packed church. And we did a setting of the Ave Maria, a very famous setting for men's chorus by Franz Biebel. Just at the very last time through, the church bells began to ring as we sang very softly. And it was just, as some of the guys were saying, and it was really true, you know, if God could be felt in a church at any one point, it was that moment. And for me as the conductor, I was just so thankful because the bells were in tune. They were in our key, so that made me happy. Whatever key we ended the piece in, they were in. So
can bells in a church even be tuned?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, that's how you can have melodies a bell.
Well, I thought that were different sized bells, which made...
They are. Whatever bells were ringing were the ones that matched our singing.
They were the good bells.
They were the good bells. So
you followed that up by saying, okay, Spain, Madrid, Barcelona, where else can we perform? And you decided Tyler, Texas.
Now, let me tell you, David, and I'll get to Tyler in just a second. For anyone that's interested in joining the Turtle Creek Chorale, we will have open auditions in January. You can get information that's already posted on our website, turtlecreek.org. But if travel is something that you enjoy doing, now's a great time. Because really my goal in getting us on a cycle now is to travel every 2 years. Big travel every 2 years. So we were in Spain this past summer. We'll take this year off, and we'll be in Denver for a week next summer for the Gala Choruses Festival. So we'll have a chance to travel together then. Then 2 years after that, we're looking to do another major international tour. And it's not in the European continent, and it's not in North America, so I'm not going to give more.
Well, you don't give it away, but how do you pick your destinations?
A trip like that mm-hmm. is, there's a lot that goes into it. Of course, cost, timing, how far is it to go? If we have a week, do I go to Australia? That's not really practical. Do we have 10 days? Do we go to South America? Yes, that's practical. If we have, 10 days, do we go to South Africa? Yes, that's practical. And,
okay.
And it's also, we survey the membership and say, here are three options of trips. Where would you like to
go? Oh, okay.
And isn't it also, when you're choosing different areas, who has really interesting concert halls that we'd
Absolutely.
Like to perform in?
Absolutely. And there is, when we pick Spain, one of the questions on there was, how much of a mission trip do you want this to be? Do you want to go as, again, coming back to this predominantly gay men group, do we want to go with a social mission, or do we not want to go with a social mission? And we sort of met halfway in the middle, yes and no. Mm-hmm. But one that is definitely a social mission, next Saturday, the 11th, the chorale will offer a free performance of our holiday repertoire, a shortened performance, at the First Presbyterian Church of Tyler. It's the first time in our 31-year history that the chorale has traveled to Tyler, Texas. Last year, another group paved the way for us, and it was certainly controversial when they performed the Laramie Project.
Mm-hmm.
And David, I know that the Dallas Voice did a pretty substantial coverage of that. There Right. was some protests. It was certainly safe for them to be there, but it certainly was in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our appearance in Tyler, I hope that it won't be protested, but if it is, I think that the power of harmony will prevail, and we are not going there with a mission to do anything other than what our mission statement says in the first place, which is to entertain, educate, unite, and uplift, the four pillars of the chorale. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that our presence in Tyler will do just that.
Well, you're going to be at a Presbyterian church. It's harder to protest a Presbyterian church,
right.
isn't it, than it is a theater?
Yeah, well, no. Actually, I don't think it is. I think that they're not protesting the venue. They're protesting who's in the venue.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that we had a little bit of trouble getting our Tyler venue secured. We were supposed to be in one venue. And that was confirmed,
mm-hmm.
and then because of some protesters,
mm-hmm.
That venue then said, you know what, we're getting too much heat for this, you're out. And we decided as an organization to take the high road and to not make it into a news blitz and down with this venue and these people. We said, okay, we hear what you're saying, we think you're wrong, and we're going to come anyway. And we just worked that much harder to make sure that we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And folks in Tyler know what's going on. And if anything, we take the high road in everything that we do. That is one thing that I always insist on. And I think that the audience will appreciate us that much more.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, Texas, so you are going to another country.
Exactly.
Believe it or not, I have a friend who's from Tyler, Texas, gay, and he said there is, unbeknownst to a lot of people, somewhat of a gay community there.
Yeah.
So you should have some support.
I've been told that this place is going to be standing room only.
Good.
There are two different gay groups. The music minister has told me that the word is out and the masses are a-coming. So it seats.
And hopefully it's friendly audience.
Sorry?
Hopefully it's friendly audience.
And you know what? If it's not,
we'll sing anyway.
Yeah,
sing anyway.
We'll. I'm not going to go there. But it's going to be a great concert.
Yeah.
It's a family friendly concert. It's familiar. It's enjoyable. It's at 7:30. It's free at First Presbyterian Church of Tyler. Come out and join us. It'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
you have a couple of concerts. Before we go there, talking about religious institutions, the last one that you sang at was also a first for you. It was one of the Reform synagogues in North
Dallas.
Conservative synagogues in North
Dallas. Yeah, we did a full-length concert at Congregation Sherith Israel. Again, another first in our... Okay, so David, earlier in the program you asked, how do you keep the holiday concerts fresh after 31 years?
Mm-hmm.
How? The same way, you just find opportunities to have firsts. And our performance at Congregation Sherith Israel, Texas's largest conservative synagogue, was a first for the Turtle Creek Chorale. And it was, almost 600 people. It was they said it was the largest attended performance of their music series since they began the program over 10 years ago. And we did a concert of all Jewish composers and Jewish music. Thankfully, we had just done a Broadway show last spring, so finding Jewish composers was pretty easy, actually.
Gay Jewish composers,
gay
actually.
Jewish composers, those Broadway guys. and it was just really terrific. You know, I also left out something earlier when you said, how do you keep the holiday show fresh? Never before have we had a guitar ensemble on a program. And we're so thrilled to have a professional ensemble. The Texas Guitar Quartet will accompany the chorale on a fair amount of our holiday show. So, you know, picture closing your eyes and, you know, 180 men standing up there accompanied by four guitars. And you can just really just feel the snow falling on your head. I know it's kind of a weird sensation or a weird analogy, but I really think that the music that we're singing with them will feel that way.
You have been involved with a group called Dallas Pump, which is a group that's affiliated with Youth First Texas. You're not particularly working with them anymore.
So Dallas Pump got its start 2 years ago, 3 years ago, perhaps, and had a really wonderful first year and a half. There were some major changes that took place. The only connection between Dallas Pump and the Turtle Creek Chorale was my involvement.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a chorale-hosted program. And Youth First Texas is growing by leaps and bounds. They've done some different things, and which is terrific, and Dallas Pump is still going well. But my partner said to me that you are entirely too busy and something needs to go. And, you know, sometimes you say the last thing added is the first thing to go. And so I've passed the buck, for the time being at least, on to a very ably talented young man who is working with Dallas Pump. And I actually don't know what they're up to right now. I've really been focusing on home life.
Good training ground for chorale members, though.
And we have three that started with me that are somewhat active members of the chorale.
Mm-hmm. You have Jennifer Holliday coming for one of your upcoming concerts.
Yes, in March. We round out the season this year with Jennifer Holliday and the men's chorus from Hamilton Park Baptist Church. And Jennifer is going to sing some things from... Jennifer Holliday, of course, is the original Effie from Dreamgirls. The role that Jennifer Hudson played in the movie. She's going to sing, and I'm telling you, she's going to sing Family from that. She's going to do some other gospel music. Hamilton Park Baptist Men's Chorus is just going to rock the house. And then we finish up the year with a concert called Night and Day, an evening of music of Cole Porter, which ought to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And that relationship you have with Hamilton Park Baptist Church goes back...
15 years.
Is it 15?
Yeah.
Which, again, is one of those nice relationships that the chorale developed with a non-natural ally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's precisely what we do.
Yeah.
That Cole Porter show is actually going to feature none other than my dear friend Denise Lee. It will be directed by Michael Serecchia.
Oh.
Who is a longtime known figure here in Dallas.
One of the original cast members of A Chorus Line.
Absolutely.
So, one of the things that the chorale did a number of years ago was they did a stage version using the movie script of The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Best version of The Wizard of Oz that I've ever seen. I saw, I think, three performances of it. That's such a unique piece.
for a gay group to do. I mean, I can't think of another one for the chorale to do. Have you ever thought of doing another musical stage production like that?
You know, they set that twice. Have I ever thought about doing it? It has not really come across my desk to do it for a couple of reasons. One is I'm just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
As far as there's just too much I want to do with the full chorus, and mm-hmm. that did not use the full chorus.
Right.
And obtaining the rights for musicals are incredibly expensive. And oftentimes they have different caveats in them that certain characters have to be played by, I'm trying to think if it's The Sound of Music is the show, that they're willing to sell it, but Maria has to be played by a woman.
Excuse me.
And so there are some interesting things with that. You know, maybe someday.
See, and one thing our group wanted to do, my synagogue, we wanted to do the first all-male version of Fiddler on the Roof, which would have been interesting.
It would.
especially since most of us can't sing. I mean, we have in our bylaws that several of us are not allowed to sing alone. We have been talking to Jonathan Pallant. He is the artistic director of the Turtle Creek Chorale. They have a big concert coming up next Saturday in Tyler. What time is that concert?
7:30. It's a free concert, First Presbyterian Church.
And the station gets almost all the way out to Tyler. It doesn't quite reach Tyler, but if you're in that direction, First Presbyterian Church in Tyler, is it in downtown Tyler?
Is there any other?
I don't know.
I've never been. So, yes, it's in. Yes, as a matter of fact, David, it's in downtown Tyler.
I'm just trying to help. After that, the Chorale's concerts are December 15th, 20th, and 22nd, 8 p.m. at the Meyerson. Tickets are on sale at turtlecreek.org.
I'm sorry, where, David?
Turtlecreek.org.
Okay, just wanted to make sure you got that right.
I did get it right. Why would I get that wrong?
I just wanted to hear you say it again.
Am I ever wrong?
No, other than, yes. Turtlecreek.org.
Other than they're performing at Transgender Day of Remembrance, they didn't show up. It wasn't me. It was
Well, you know, I think I want to write that down. Turtlecreek.org?
That's correct.
That's correct? Okay.
And we're going out with music from?
Melissa Etheridge.
You want? How could I guess? You wanted more, I gave you less. A miracle is all I need. A bush to burn, a stone to bleed. Walking on water, water to away, desire spark, a lover's blaze, stone cold skin, a bitter breeze, a miracle.